Good morning and welcome to the morning service for All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green Church for Sunday the 21st of March 2021. My name's Roy Miller and I'm a member of our church family here. The words and the songs for today's service will appear on the screen, but if you prefer, there's also a service sheet available on the church website. It would also be helpful to have a Bible available. The theme of our service this morning is Be Faithful Under Pressure. And in our current series on Revelation, Paul Southern will be preaching as we look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. But we start our service this morning with some words from Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Well, we're reminded again of God's faithfulness to us in our opening song, Faithful One.
Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless One, You're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend.
Times of trouble, my hope is in you alone. Thank you, Lord, that you are our strength at times when we feel weak. Amen. We come now to a time of confession. The gospel calls us to turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. As we offer ourselves to him in penitence and faith, we renew our confidence and trust in his mercy. And so a few moments of reflection before we say the confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we are truly sorry for doing what we want and not what you want, and straying from your ways like lost sheep. Father, please forgive us and help us to obey you. For breaking your perfect laws in the Bible by not loving you with our whole heart and not loving other people as ourselves. Father, please forgive us and help us to obey you. For sinning against you by what we have thought and said and done, and by the good things we have failed to do. Father, please forgive us and help us to obey you. Amen. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Since Jesus died for us, we have peace with God, to whom be praise and honour forever. Amen. Jeanette will now bring us our first Bible reading.
Our first Bible reading is taken from Daniel chapter 3, and I'm beginning to read at verse 8. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O King, live forever. You have issued a decree, O King, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O King. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's join together now in standing and confirming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Brian Gant will now bring us our New Testament reading.
Chapter 2, reading from verses 8 to 11. So Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together as we come to study God's word. Heavenly Father, as we study your word in these letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, may we be people who have ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our sermon series looking at these seven letters to the churches given by Jesus to John in a revelation on the island of Patmos. Today we are looking at the second letter, the letter to the church in Smyrna. Just 3 verses in chapter 2 with much for us to think about. Firstly, a few background notes on Smyrna. Smyrna was about 35 miles, which is about 1 day's journey, due north of Ephesus. Today it is Izmir in the modern day Turkey, the third largest city. Smyrna was designed by Alexander the Great. It was large, a city of about 200,000 people, situated at a strategic trading point. It had a beautiful harbour. Its main thoroughfare was called Golden Street, which stretched from west to east, right across the city. The people were very proud. The crown was their emblem. They lived peaceful and prosperous lives in what was called the Crown of Asia. Each of the seven letters is rooted in life in that particular place, and each is topped and tailed with the same phrases. Early in each letter, Jesus says, "I know," and he does. And at the end of each letter, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So we have Jesus' permission to look over their shoulders and to learn as they take in what Jesus had to say to them. So if you've got a Bible handy, let's look at these verses together. First of all, verse 8, he knows. Jesus knows, because he is the first and the last in the things of God. He is the immortal, invisible God, only wise. Jesus is the living Word. There was never anyone before him and no one after him. So he rules over all. He always has and he always will. He died and he came back to life and lives forevermore. The Christians in Smyrna could have complete confidence in what Jesus said to them. And so should we if we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Praise God that he knows our suffering at this time of pandemic and all the uncertainty and heartache that this is bringing. But this morning I want to concentrate on suffering that comes through a living faith in Jesus in the context of this short letter to the church in Smyrna. In the sermon, I want to use Jesus' words, "I know," for the framework. And I think you can find this on the service sheet. So hopefully these three divisions will help you as you study along with me. First of all, in verse 9, we'll be looking at your afflictions, your poverty, and your enemies. And then in verse 10, your fear, your testing, and suffering to come. And then verses 10 and 11, your future. So the first one now, verse 9. I know your difficulties, your afflictions, your poverty, and your enemies. From the beginnings of the Roman Empire, Smyrna had cultivated a friendship with Rome and had been the first place to build a temple to Tiberius in AD 23. And so Caesar worship was well established. The law required burning of a pinch of incense with the acclamation that Caesar is Lord. And you had to have an annual certificate on pain of death to confirm your allegiance. And alongside this was a religious freedom to worship who or what you liked as long as you proclaimed Caesar is Lord. In this letter to Smyrna, there is no reproof and there is no rebuke. Christians who would not compromise the key tenet of their faith, Jesus is Lord. And they were unwilling to worship the emperor, so they faced persecution and death, although some did compromise. Afflictions here meant daily they lived under constant pressure and danger. There was a large Jewish community and a small Christian community in Smyrna. And the occupying Romans, being pragmatic if nothing else, exempted the Jews from the compulsory Caesar worship, but not the Christians. And Christians were probably denied the benefits, the membership of the many trade guilds, so were marginalized and they were very poor as a result. And we shall see this again when we come to look at the letter to the church in Thyatira. Jesus says to this Christian community, you are rich. You're rich towards God. You're rich in Jesus Christ. But their Christian faith costs them dearly, materially. I wonder if you or I would be readily identify as a Christian believer. I wonder if we would do that if doing so threatened our income or threatened our pensions. Their enemies were a group of Jews, not all of the Jews. They were spreading malicious slander about Christians, which incited persecution. And Bible commentators speak of them calling Christians cannibals, as at the Lord's Supper they were eating flesh and drinking blood. And Jesus says of this group, they say they are Jews, but they are not. They may have the marks of Jewish culture, but they are fake. And Jesus condemns them and calls them a synagogue of Satan. Satan is behind all that the Christians suffered here. In their midst would have been Jews who had accepted Christ as the promised Messiah and were now Christian believers, but it seems that even they failed to stand by their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so verse 9, I know your afflictions, Jesus says, your poverty and your enemies. And then verse 10, I know your fear, your testing and your suffering to come. Jesus, far from rescuing Christians from this situation in Smyrna, tells them, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will be allowed for some to be put in prison to test their faith. Prison would be the place where they would likely be tortured, with the promise that if they worshipped the emperor, they would be freed. Prison often held those awaiting trial that would more than likely end in execution. Jesus tells them it will be for a limited time. He says it will be for 10 days. And this is likely to be a symbolic number rather than a literal one. But the promise was that these things will get worse, but for a limited yet preordained period. And things did get worse. There is a famous bishop of Smyrna in church history called Polycarp. The timescale went something like this. He was bishop in around AD 115. And these letters to the churches, Revelation, are dated in the 90s AD. And Polycarp was martyred around 155 AD. We're told he was arrested and he was brought to the stadium. He refused to worship the emperor. He famously said of Jesus, 66 I have served him, and he never did me wrong. How can I revile my king and my saviour? The crowd went wild and demanded that he be thrown to the wild animals. But on the orders of the proconsul, he was martyred by fire. I know your fear, Jesus says, your testing and your suffering to come. And then verse 10, I know your future. We should take account of how much more difficult it is for Christians these days to live out the gospel in their place of work, to be known as someone who holds to biblical truth and says so, or perhaps to endure hostility and isolation in family life or in school or college because you're the only one living for Jesus. Increasingly, there is a climate of fear in every walk of life that would cause Christians to keep quiet or to compromise their faith and then pay the price. I guess at times we are all fearful of what might happen to us in the future. Does it seem likely in this country we will ever be called to suffer persecution and death because we love Jesus? Could our culture ever get that hostile to Christians? Jesus says to the Christians in Smyrna, be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Greek New Testament word for crown here is the word stephanos, which is the victor's crown. And this was the victory for finishing the race set before them. Yes, some would die. I wonder if you've ever wondered how you would manage to be faithful even to the point of death. I don't know about you, but by nature I am a fearful person rather than a fearless one. If I was put to the test, I would hope to be able to be like Polycarp, to say of Jesus, he has never let me down. So in the face of persecution and death, I can't and I won't deny him. A Christian organization called Barnabas Fund supports persecuted Christians around the world. And they reported that just 3 Sundays ago, 24 Christians, including 2 ministers, were attacked and killed by armed militia in western Ethiopia. And the church was burnt down during the attack. Barnabas say Christians are living in utter fear, day in and day out. And Christians living under this kind of fear must often say to each other that this suffering is only for a time. And if we have to die, Jesus promises us the crown of life, resurrection life. With the promise in verse 11, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death, which is the final judgment, which is the lake of fire we read about in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 6 and 14. Be faithful, Jesus says. Keep on keeping on. As I finish, I included the passage from Daniel this morning as a vivid picture of this kind of faithfulness. Daniel's three companions, as they faced the blazing furnace, were defiant. They would not worship the golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar and said, "The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." This has always been a favourite verse of mine. It is the phrase, "even if he does not." It's a wonderful demonstration to me of trust in the sovereign purposes of God, come what may. The Christians at Smyrna needed faith like this, and Jesus commended them in his letter to them. I wonder, do we need faith like this today? Let's pray together. In the words of the song that we sang at the start of our service, Lord Jesus, you are the faithful one, so unchanging. You are the ageless one, you're my rock of peace. You are Lord of all, and I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. And all through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. In the storms of life, Lord, help us not only to see you as a rock in times of trouble, but to stand on you safe and secure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And so we come to our second song,
We Have an Anchor.
Storms of life.
Jeanette will now lead us in our prayers.
Will you join me together in praying our collect prayer for the day? It can be found on page 3 of the service sheet. I think it's very apt for this morning after what we've been hearing. Let's pray together. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We've been considering this morning being faithful under pressure, and we've been reminded of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are experiencing persecution. Father God, we want to bring our brothers and sisters to you this morning, and we ask that you will indeed give them grace to be faithful under pressure. We pray that they may triumph in the power of your victory, Lord Jesus. And we're reminded that you suffered for us. We think of the church that was mentioned in the sermon this morning in Ethiopia. And we pray especially for two churches in Madhya Pradesh in India, who were also recently attacked and had their worship services disrupted. We pray for pastors there who face charges because of new anti-conversion laws. And we ask that you will protect Christians from mob attacks and false charges. We remember this morning Nazanin Zaghari Radcliffe in Iran, unable to return to her husband Richard and daughter Gabriella. And we pray for those in Iran dealing with her case, for compassion and justice, that Nazanin can return home soon to be with her family once again. We remember the family and friends of Sarah Everard. Will you comfort them, and may they turn to you to find grace and help at this dreadful time. And we pray for Wayne Cousins, his family and friends as they come to terms with this situation. And we ask that justice may be satisfied and that all involved may find forgiveness and healing and above all know your peace. We thank you for the COVID vaccination programme and we praise you, Lord, for the wonder of science and the hope that this vaccination brings to so many people. Yet we are mindful that this gift comes from you, and you are the ultimate healer. And whilst this vaccine can help in this life, we know that only you can save us for eternity. We ask that you will continue to have your hand of healing on the Duke of Edinburgh. We thank you that he is home from hospital and reunited with the Queen. We pray for her and the wider royal family. We thank you for the Queen's faith in you, and we ask that you will continue to help her and others in their royal duties. Thank you that the schools have been allowed to reopen. And we ask that you will keep staff and children safe from the virus. And we pray especially this morning for Holy Trinity 8 Ash Green School as it's closed again now because of COVID. Thank you that our church can be opened up again so that we can meet in person, albeit with guidelines followed. Will you bless us as we meet again? And will you bless those who continue to listen at home? Will you help us to remain firmly together in you, growing and being built up in love with you, Lord Jesus, as our head? We remember those in our church family who are suffering, and we ask that you will comfort Ruth Wheeler and the family in the loss of Bob. We thank you for Bob's life and witness, and we give thanks too for the faithfulness of Ruth, who cared for him for so many years. Will you help those adapting to this new chapter of life without Bob? And we give thanks that for those who know you, as it says in Philippians, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We think also of Jenny Roberts. Thank you that she is home from hospital, and we pray that you will help her as she rests and recuperates. Please give Bill strength to cope with the practicalities of daily life as he cares for Jenny. And finally, we take a few moments to remember before you those on our hearts this morning and any situations known to us. Father God, as we begin a new week, we pray that we will be conscious that you are with us to help us. I pray that you will help us to remember your victory on the cross, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we may know your power in our lives this week, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Francis will now bring us some items of church family news.
Yes, we're coming towards the end of this service. Thanks very much to Roy and Paul for your leading and preaching this morning and your ministry to us. Do join us for virtual coffee from 11:30 to 12:30. This will give us the opportunity to connect together, to stay in fellowship as a church community. So we'll have small breakout groups to chat, and then we'll have a time all together to discuss today's focus on Revelation chapter 2 and to think about how that scripture applies to our church today. The All Saints Club online meets this afternoon, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11 year olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15 year olds. I'm pleased to announce that the PCC has voted to reopen our church buildings for public worship from next Sunday. So I look forward to seeing many of you in person. It'll be great to be together again. We'll continue to broadcast services online as well. Attendance guidance and booking details will be published this coming week. And next Sunday, our Easter season services begin with a Palm Sunday service focusing on Jesus' journey to the cross. Together, we're going to explore readings from Mark's Gospel, beginning with the crowd celebrating Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. But we'll see how this changes within just a few days to calls for him to be crucified. The Easter program is published on page 6 of today's notice sheet. Please pray for the encouragement of our church fellowship during these days over Easter. And consider if there are friends or family members that you can invite to a service, either in person or to watch online, or to take part in the Window Trail competition. You can see details of that on the back of today's notice sheet and also on the website. Bob Wheeler's funeral will be held at Fordham Church on Wednesday, the 31st of March, with a maximum attendance of 30 people due to COVID restrictions. Bob was a much loved member of our church community, and it is sad that he's no longer with Ruth and his children or with us as well. We celebrate his faith in Jesus and that he's left us to experience the blessings of eternal life. The service will be live streamed, and the link to connect can be found in today's notice sheet. This Tuesday, the Marie Curie charity has called for a national day of reflection, marking a year since the COVID lockdown began. Both church buildings will be open for private prayer from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. this coming Tuesday. Church members and the local community are invited. Please wear a face mask unless you have a specific exemption. And the midweek coffee break will be this Wednesday on Zoom from 10:30. Make yourself a drink and connect for a chat. Details are in the notice sheet and the weekly church email. Well, I do hope you have a good week, and let's finish with a prayer and a blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to be a church who are faithful to you under pressure, faithful when we face persecution for our faith. And from that reading in Revelation, we remember that the most important thing to avoid is the second death. Please help us to keep that future in mind and give us courage in this life when difficulties come. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.